Our guest today in the Global Observatory is Kieran Holmes, the Commissioner General of the Burundi Revenue Authority, a post he assumed in June of 2010. He has been building and reforming tax policy and collection in countries around the world since 1984, including Lesotho, Swaziland, Yemen, Rwanda, and elsewhere. Kieran, thank you for speaking with us today. Following your work in countries recently emerged from civil war, including your current post in Burundi, where a 15-year civil war came to an end in 2008, you've argued that domestic revenue mobilization should be a core component of peace building. Why is it so important for post-conflict states?
Well, actually, it's extremely important for post-conflict states, but I would say it's equally important for all states. It's important for post-conflict states because by building the revenue administration, by empowering the state, you facilitate the state to provide basic services to the taxpayers. You strengthen the state. The state is its dependency on international aid and so on is reduced because it has its own funds. And as I was saying earlier today, the volume and the value of revenues collected by the state itself is often far, far greater than international development assistance flows or indeed any other flow.
How does operating in fragile states versus states with no recent history of violent conflict change your work in establishing revenue authorities? Do post-conflict states bring different challenges in addition to the obvious heightened security concerns?
Yes, post-conflict states do bring different challenges. You know, in some states, well, many of the post-conflict states, corruption is a big issue. And, of course, to do revenue collection properly, you need a corruption-free environment. In Burundi, we were fortunate after his last election, President Pierre Nkurunziza announced a zero tolerance on corruption policy, which was, of course, music to my ears because I had only just arrived in Burundi a month before his confirmation speech. Fighting corruption is central to everything we do in tax administration. We have a zero tolerance on corruption policy within the Revenue Authority. We have a code of conduct. We have disciplinary committees. We have means of dealing with corrupt staff, and we utilize those means whenever we find corruption in the Revenue Authority.
And I know you talk about corruption quite a bit for good reason, not just among revenue authority employees, but also among taxpayers, potential tax evaders, and business owners. So across post-conflict countries, as you institute policies aimed at changing these ingrained practices around bribes and corruptions, are steps also taken to prevent backlash or incidents of violence that possibly could destabilize your efforts?
Yes, security is a huge issue, and I've had situations where my staff have had guns pointed at them. I also have a close protection unit where I work. So security is a huge problem. We employ a police unit within the Revenue Authority. We have 80 police officers who are there to assist us with shall I say, the sharp end of activities or night patrols and protection of people, protection of buildings, protection of revenues. It's all germane to the cause.
Across the fields of foreign aid, development, and peace building today, there's an increasing shift from externally imposed initiatives to country and citizen-driven projects. When you arrive in countries like Rwanda or Burundi, you're an outsider. So how do you gain trust and legitimacy? And how do you build acceptance and ownership of the new tax process? In Burundi, you've talked quite a bit that you've enjoyed the support of the country's highest elected leaders, the head of state, but what about the wider population?
Yeah, I think trust is something that you earn. It's not you can never expect it as an entitlement. So for me, when I arrive in a country, I know I have to work hard to earn the trust. I have to demonstrate my technical ability to my staff. They have to know that I'm somebody who understands all aspects of a problem, and I can provide the leadership that's necessary. And the population has to know that they've got someone with a good technical competence in charge. But also, they judge you not by what you say, but what you do. And what I try and do is, well, first of all, I try and do what I say. So if I say I'm going to do something, then I follow through and I do it. Of course, we don't make policy within the tax administration. We only carry out policy. Policy is made by politicians and by ministers. But in the tax administration, when the population, when the business community perceive you doing your job and they perceive you doing it openly and transparently and fairly, then that creates the trust, and the trust then is what you enjoy.
Your research has shown that even minor improvements in tax collection in countries can bring in funds equal to or more than the sum of foreign aid and diaspora remittances. If this is the case, is domestic revenue generation now a priority for domestic governments in Africa and elsewhere, as well as the international aid community? And if not, why isn't its potential fully embraced?
You know, I've been doing this work for 29 years, and suddenly I find I'm an overnight success. When I went to Kiribati, people laughed, you know, because I went to join, shall we say, older and more cynical aid workers and so on, who laughed at the idea of someone coming out to collect taxes on a small coral atoll or a group of coral atolls. But at the end of the day, after a few years, we had quadrupled revenue collection on a small coral atoll. So if it can be done there, it can be done anywhere, in my view. But to me, it was a no-brainer after I'd seen how my initial experience had worked out. The next country I went to was Lesotho, and we grew revenue there by 2,000% over a six-year period. Again, a small economy, again, a highly dependent economy, dependent heavily on South Africa, which country surrounds it. So in my work over the 29 years, to me, it's been a no-brainer. But I think it's taken the international community a while to catch on to the idea that revenue generation is actually a very powerful tool for influencing change in states, not just in conflict states, but in all states.
And I just read about one specific example of that change in Burundi, where you are now, and the fact that using its higher tax revenue, Burundi built its first domestically funded hospital just last year in 2012. And now other tax-funded projects in the fields of energy, education, or farming and food security are planned and underway. So is this improved delivery of government services central to the role of domestic revenue generation in peace building?
Yes, it is. It goes to what I was saying about empowering countries to bring in their own revenues and to use their revenue without any strings attached, as they should be doing. It's a hugely powerful way of empowering states, and it's a hugely powerful way of building the social contract between the population who pay the taxes and the government that spends the taxes.
Thank you, Kieran Holmes. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.